died during those hunts. Toffle frowned at Fluffykins, who looked bloated.
I meant it felt wrong to feed a boar pork, but that's also pretty messed up, she said.
Why the phoenixes leave fuselage?
Same reason why the humans did, Linda said, as she turned towards the door of the temple. To survive.
They never told us why humans moved to this continent. We always started history lessons at the time of landing 800 years ago, Paul said, his voice barely above a whisper.
I feel like I heard something I shouldn't have.
Then keep it to yourself, Grimmy said and snorted. What are you, a child?
But something this huge. I'm sorry, please don't eat me, Paul shrieked as Grimmy glared at him.
He prostrated himself in front of Grimmy.
You're right, oh wise one, I shouldn't have questioned you. Forgive this unappealing, stick-thin human who definitely tastes like sour milk and expired eggs.
The temple door swung open, and Verr walked out with his aura gone. He froze as he met Tuffle's gaze. The two stared at each other without moving, while creaking sounds came from Fluffykins as she squealed and struggled to flee Tuffle's tightening grip.
Tuffle? Verr asked.
Tuffle nodded as she released Fluffykins. She inhaled and approached Verr, stopping when she was in front of him.
You almost killed me, she said, with her hands on her hips.
Verr flinched.
Take responsibility, Tuffle said with a red face. You brute?
Verr blinked and nodded as he wrapped his arms around Tuffle.
I'm sorry.
Nothing else was said, but those two words were the only ones Tuffle needed to hear. The two stood motionless, with their ears resting against each other's.
Now kiss, Grimmy said.
He chortled.
She actually said it,
he grinned at Lindis.
You owe me a meal when we get back.
Lindis sighed. I'm disappointed in you, Tuffle, she said and shook her head. I thought you'd be more refined. Do you know how much effort it takes to feed a dragon? And those two aren't even listening to us. The rest of the people inside the temple walked up to the entrance and froze, unwilling to take another step. Paul met Lillian's and Michelle's eyes. Michelle stared at Grimmy with her eyes wide and mouth open, like a girl finding out her parents bought her a puppy.
What's going on?
Lillian mouthed to Paul. Paul shook his head and his eyes flickered towards Grimmy. A white light formed a line of words above his head with the words,
Don't move, Arrow. He's scary.
It disappeared again when Grimmy turned his head to find the sudden source of light. Paul lowered his head, avoiding the dragon's gaze. Before anyone could say anything else, a sharp yell split the silence. Green runes flashed along Rudolph's arms and body. He shrieked as he clawed at his skin with his nails. Tuffle and Verr broke away from each other, frowning at the prince. He writhed on the floor as blood leaked out of and coalesced along the runes, erasing them from existence. He screamed, Johann! Something's happening to Johann! The prince gasped and shuddered as his eyes rolled upwards. After a few more moments of twitching, his body stopped moving.
36. Who's this Johann?
Grimmy asked as he poked the unconscious Rudolph. His snout crinkled and he turned away.
Such a bad-smelling contract magic.
Johann's the big blue pup dragon. He's Rudolph's contracted beast, Michelle said.
She lowered her head at Verr.
Please, you have to help him. Johann really respects you, and you're really strong. I don't think Geralt can save him if he's in danger.
A chill rolled down her spine as someone snorted.
Who are you?
Tuffle asked as she narrowed her eyes at Michelle. Her grip on Verr's hand tightened.
I'm Michelle Heilig, daughter of the Pope, Michelle said with a slight curtsy.
You are?
Tuffle Beastick, Tuffle said,
her eyes sweeping over the group by the temple's entrance. Verr's fiancée.
Oh, and the current demon lord.
Every human's body stiffened, except for Verr. Verr blinked.
You're my fiancé?
Am I not?
Tuffle asked as she glared at him. Don't you remember what we promised each other when we were little? Verse smiled and gazed into Tuffle's eyes.
Then I guess you are.
He pulled her closer to his body.
Ahem. Lillian cleared her throat. Johann, danger, help? Yes, no?
No.
Everyone stared at Grimmy.
Aren't you a dragon? How could you abandon your own kind?
The Pope asked as he stepped forward. The ground underneath Grimmy's claws shattered. He snorted and lowered his head to look down on the Pope.
You humans stole a dragon egg and now want our help when you can't control it? What a joke.
Smoke creeped out of Grimmy's mouth. His eyes narrowed.
Don't ever forget your place, human.
Ver frowned.
Johann was nice to me, he said to Grimmy. We should at least check what's happening to him.
Grimmy blinked his eyes and chuckled.
All right, he said.
He winked at Lindis.
Looks like he's all grown up. This is the first time he's ever disagreed with me.
He scooped Ver and Tuffle onto his forehead, while Lindis climbed onto his claw with Fluffykins. His eyes flickered to the Pope.
Of course, I'll be expecting a reward for this. And I'll be taking it, whether you like it or not.
He leapt into the air.
The royal castle, Michelle yelled from the ground. Johann's staying at the castle.
Randall slammed his fist against the armrest of his throne.
What do you mean Johann is rampaging?
He asked the sentry who was on his knees before him.
Bring Exenter to me immediately.
Yes, your majesty, the sentry said.
He stood up and sprinted out of the room without looking back. Randall exhaled and clenched his fist. The words of the Pope echoed in his ears.
Imagine if a sacred spirit rested in his body instead of blessing it.
His eyes narrowed, and he raised one hand.
Bring the Pope here. I need to ask him a few questions.
Gale saluted.
Yes. Your majesty.
A sentry burst through the doors.
A black dragon has appeared outside of the temple along with a corrupted one. They're currently sitting outside doing nothing, but that can change at any moment. The Pope is still inside the temple with the winners.
Randall's face paled.
When Exenter arrives, tell him to stop Johann with Geralt and his men. Johann must be subdued and not killed,
the king said to the sentry. He whipped his head towards Gale.
Come with me.
Randall and Gale left the throne room, leaving the sentry to deliver the message to Exenter.
Where are we going, your majesty?
Gale asked as the two descended down a spiral staircase.
The Vault of the Spirits,
Randall said, as he led Gale into an unlit corridor. He opened a plain wooden door at the end and stepped inside. Glowing white crystals littered the floor and illuminated the room. Gale's eyes widened.
These are...
Correct,
Randall said as he picked up a crystal. It looked similar to the one the Pope had lit on fire to summon the yellow smoke at the altar.
The Pope is the capital's strongest defender with these crystals in his hand. However, he's cornered by a dragon and can't access them.
Randall's gaze locked onto Gale's.
It's up to you, the archbishop closest in line to becoming the next pope, to call upon our ancestors to defend the capital. I will try to negotiate with the corrupted one, but if things cannot be settled peacefully, then you are our last hope.
Gale shuddered.
I understand, your majesty,
he said, and lowered his head.
I will do my best.
Of course. I expect nothing less,
Randall said, and removed the ring he was wearing. He passed it to Gale.
This ring will shatter if I die.
Randall stared into Gale's eyes, hesitating. In the end, he patted Gale's shoulder and left the room.
Outside, Randall went to the royal stables to acquire a horse.
He rode towards the royal castle's exit, but before he could leave, a shadow blotted out the sun and landed behind him. His face paled as the horse threw him off and bolted away. The king dusted himself off and gulped as he turned around. A black dragon smiled at him.
Grimmy, you almost squished the king,
Linda said. No amount of loopholes in the contract would have changed that.
Well,
He's still all right, yeah?
Grimmy asked, and gestured towards the trembling king.
See, just a little shaky and frightened. Maybe his pants are soiled, but that's it. He'll be fine.
The king took in a deep breath and stuck out his chest, his knees knocked together as he asked,
May I know what you are doing in my kingdom?
Grimmy blinked.
Sightseeing.
Sightseeing?
Yep. But then we encountered the prince who wanted us to help him with his Johann problem,
Grimmy said.
He promised to give us the royal treasury as payment.
That's...
What? Does the royal family renege on their deals?
Grimmy asked as he leered at the king.
I think I understand how they came into power. It'd be a shame if something were to happen to them.
Fine.
The royal treasury for your assistance,
the king said through gritted teeth. Grimmy smiled, while Linda sighed. Karen sneezed as he dusted off a book.
It feels like I'm forgetting something,
he mumbled to himself.
Like future of the world important.
He frowned and stepped to the window, staring off into the horizon almost as if he was seeing past the ocean and into fuselage.
Well, if it was that important, then I wouldn't have forgotten it.
He turned his attention back to the book as he scratched his naked legs. Geralt stood outside of Johann's courtyard with a contingent of soldiers behind him. His face was dark. Though he had failed to subdue the skeletons of Königreich, the king still trusted him with important tasks, like suppressing a dragon. By his side, Exenter was drinking mana potions.
How do we stop him? A soldier asked, his face pale.
In the courtyard ahead of him, Johann was clawing the floor and bellowing into the air. His wings quivered as he struggled to fly, but he kept crashing against the ground before he could get a meter into the air. His claws left parallel rifts in the ground as he pulled himself off the floor over and over again. Geralt snorted.
This is why I told the king to keep a closer watch on this beast, he said as he tightened his grip on his sword and shield. We'll hamstring it. Cut the tendons in its legs and wings. The first phalanx will be responsible for keeping its attention on them, while the rest of us focus on its limbs.
He raised his voice.
Understood? Yes, sir,
the soldiers behind him shouted. Their orange swords shone in the sun as they trekked through the entrance to the courtyard. Exenter narrowed his eyes at Johann. Wind swirled around the Time Mage's feet as he chanted. A giant clock's face appeared underneath Johann's body and counted down in reverse.
He's slowed, Exenter shouted to Geralt. Luckily he's not resistant to magic like most dragons.
Geralt grinned as he circled behind Johann and slashed towards the dragon's hind leg. Johann's tail blurred and slammed into Geralt's body, flinging him against the wall. His bones cracked as he coughed out a mouthful of blood.
Damn it, Exenter!
Geralt roared.
You said he was slowed!
Exenter scratched his head.
I did use slow, though, he said and frowned. Unless I cast haste? I wouldn't make such a rookie mistake. Hold him off as I cast a stop spell.
The soldiers ground their teeth as they took a step back and readied their shields. They flew through the air as Johann smacked against them with his claws and tail. A few unlucky ones were torn to shreds by the dragon's teeth. Cuts gradually accumulated along Johann's legs, leaking bright red blood. A worm crawled out of a particularly large wound and lunged towards a soldier.
What the hell is this?
The soldier bunted the worm with his shield and bisected it with a single slash.
Watch out! It's still moving!
The man next to him said. The front half of the worm flew towards the soldier's face before he could raise his shield.
Stop!
Exenter shouted. The worm froze in midair, and the soldier hacked it to pieces. Johann let out a bellow, unaffected by the time magic.
Magic's not working on him!
Geralt shouted, flecks of blood flying from his mouth.
Regardless, we can still stop him. He's wounded, and our white mages will be here to heal us soon. We'll win in a battle of endurance. Keep it up!
Johann's body shuddered as his eyes closed. He stopped moving as Geralt's men advanced and hacked at his legs, severing his tendons. Geralt laughed.
I guess it gave up knowing it would lose.
Kill these worms, men. I don't know what they are, but they're disgusting me.
Johann's eyes snapped open. The bleeding flesh on his wounds wriggled and writhed. They grew and expanded outwards, the severed muscles and tendons stitching themselves back together. Johann bellowed and flapped his wings, no longer struggling and thrashing.
This, Geralt said as his brow creased. Fall back! Everyone, fall back!
Johann roared and slammed his claws onto the ground. A storm of lightning rained down on the soldiers, eliciting pained cries and shrieks. He swiped his claws towards the ones who were lucky enough to avoid the bolts. Green blades shot out of his claws, cutting into the soldiers.
"He's using magic," Exenter said with wide eyes. "That's impossible. He's not imprinted. What's going on here?"
Wind swirled around Exenter as his body disappeared. He reappeared on a roof and fell over backwards.
"It's you?"
"Hello, Exenter," Linda said. "Running away?"
Grimmy was sitting on the roof with Lindis, Toffel, and Ver. They watched Johann fight against the soldiers, crushing what remained of them.
"We're not fighting that," Grimmy said. "Forget the treasury, I'm rich enough."
Ver frowned.
"But no buts! We came to assess the situation, and the situation is bad," Grimmy said, and stretched his neck. "He's resistant to magic and can cast spells. I would stop him if that was it, but he's seriously infected by those parasites. I refuse to get close to something like that."
Lindis nodded. "I'm sure the humans have some safeguards to deal with extreme threats," she said.
"Let them handle it. There's no need to sacrifice ourselves. I do wonder where those worms came from, though."
She narrowed her eyes. "The demons brought over a batch from Fuselage. I wouldn't be surprised if the humans did the same and something went awry.
You reap what you sow."
"We're leaving."
"Wait," Exenter said. "Please help me stop him."
Lindis frowned.
"Didn't you hear any of what I said? We're not risking our lives to clean up someone else's mistake."
"You won't be at risk," Exenter said and lowered his head. "Please. I just need you two to feed mana into me so I can perform a large-scale area teleportation spell."
"He's resistant to magic. Did you forget?" Lindis asked. "Where would you even teleport him to?"
"I'll teleport him to Fuselage," Exenter said. "As long as I teleport the whole space around me, he'll be included in the spell regardless of resistance. I just need more mana."
Grimmy raised an eyebrow.
"You're sure? You'll be stuck on Fuselage too, you know, with an angry dragon at that."
Exenter nodded.
"I swore an oath to protect the kingdom. If I ran away now, then I wouldn't be able to live with myself."
He knelt on the floor and lowered his head towards Lindis and Grimmy.
"Please."
Lindis sighed.
"The humans don't deserve someone like you," she said, and shook her head.
"We'll help."
She slid off of Grimmy's head and grasped Exenter's hand. Grimmy placed the tip of his claw on Exenter's head. Ver and Toffel exchanged glances with each other before grabbing Exenter's other hand. The Time Mage's veins bulged as his hair fluttered, streams of mana flowing into him. Blood dripped out of his pores, leaving a layer of red on his body.
"Thank you," Exenter said through clenched teeth. "Save my room in Königreich for me. I'll be back."
His bloody body disappeared from the four's grasp and reappeared on top of Johann. A moment later, the courtyard vanished, leaving a crater in the ground. Wind howled as it rushed in to fill the empty void.
"Crap!" Kieran shouted as his book dropped to the floor. "I was supposed to stop myself today."
His naked body vanished and reappeared on the roof behind Linda's group. His eyes narrowed as his gaze landed on the crater.
"Well, damn. I screwed up," he sighed.
The four turned around to face him.
"What do you mean you screwed up?"
Lindis asked the naked man.
"And what are you even doing here?"
Her brow furrowed.
"And where's your clothes?"
Kieran let out another sigh and shook his head.
"I was supposed to stop myself from teleporting Johann to Fuselage. It's too late now. The fact that I'm still here is proof of that. Ah, I really messed up." Speak clearly, you crazy old man, Grimmy said, as he flicked Karen's forehead, causing the frail man to tumble and roll over backwards.
Karen rubbed his forehead.
I am Exenter, he said as he picked himself off the floor. I didn't just teleport Johann to Fuselage. I brought him back in time, too.
Karen raised one hand as Lindis opened her mouth.
Hear me out before you speak, please.
The humans fled from the continent of Trummer 800 years ago because of me. After I brought Johann to Fuselage, I teleported as far away as I could. I got away from him. But the soldiers who came with me weren't as lucky.
Karen sighed.
You'll have to forgive me if I forget a few things. It's been over 1,000 years, and a lot has happened since then. I encountered the city of Verderb after wandering around Trummer. There were a lot of interesting creatures there. Phoenixes, manticores, behemoths, giant praying mantises. Well, they're still there, but just corrupted and all wiggly. The plants there were huge and plentiful, with great restorative properties. Oh, there was so much to learn.
Karen coughed.
Ah, I'm getting sidetracked. Anyways, I managed to convince the citizens of Verderb that Johann was a threat, and they responded. The king sent out waves of soldiers to stop him. Their weaponry was much more advanced than ours, but they didn't rely on magic as much, only faith. They fought an endurance battle with Johann and destroyed all the replicating worms and their hosts. Eventually, the region they contained Johann in was drained of mana, and he, along with the parasites, became progressively weaker. The king ordered the destruction of Johann and all the worms, but one of the princes had other plans. He pretended to follow the king's orders and buried Johann's body in a casing of orichalcum, while keeping the worms for himself. By that point, the worms were so weak that they couldn't fully control a human body even after digging inside of them. He planted them in anyone who opposed him, and used their madness as an excuse to have them executed or locked up.
Tuffle frowned. You didn't stop him.
Karen creased his brow. If I had known back then what I know now, then we wouldn't be in this position, he said, and scratched his chin. I was also a bit preoccupied with all the new species of animals and plants around me, but that's beside the point. That prince became king, and used the worms to ensure the security of his reign. Eventually, it became the collective secret of the upper echelons. One day, someone messed up, and the worms were set free, starting from the center of the capital. It spread outwards, and no one could stop it, since the king had undermined the strength of the kingdom to ensure his own sovereignty. People panicked, and cities fell. The beasts on Trummer became infected when they ate humans or other infected beasts. Eventually, humanity was backed into a city on the coast, Fuselage. The only reason it held was because of the crystals. I call them spirit tears, which were able to maintain a barrier against the worms. They're the same crystals the humans use now to summon their ancestor spirits, by the way. I set up a portal and had the non-combatants flee to this continent, along with a few commanders who I knew were strong enough to establish a foothold against the elves. I established rules for teleporting to and from Fuselage to ensure the worms wouldn't be able to travel to Zur. But I must have failed somewhere along the way, because clearly, worms made it across and infected Johann.
Ver tilted his head as his brow furrowed.
So the worms that infected Johann were the ancestors of themselves?
Precisely,
Karen said and nodded.
If I didn't teleport Johann to Fuselage, then the worms would never have existed, thus eliminating the need to teleport Johann to Fuselage. But I was too late to stop myself.
Ah, Toffel said and exhaled. I don't get it. Where does that put us now?
Lindis crossed her arms across her chest. We have to find out where the worms are coming from. The last outbreak was when I almost destroyed Niffle and the demons released the worms. But that was 10 years ago, she said and frowned. How is it that only Johann became infected? What happened here?
Ver, help!
The group standing on top of the roof peered over the edge. Lillian was lying on her belly, hanging over a horse's saddle. A trail of blood was left behind as the horse moved forwards. Ver frowned and jumped off the roof, landing in front of the horse. He placed his hand on Lillian's back, and a breeze encircled her, illuminating her wounds with a green light. Lillian sat up with tears streaming down her cheeks.
"Paul! Michelle!" she said, as her voice cracked. "They're dead! You have to resurrect them before their souls leave their bodies! Please!"
"What happened?" Ver asked as he grasped Lillian's arm. "Weren't you near the temple?" Lillian's body trembled as she shook her head.
"It was Trent. He used some sort of magic to make the spirit disappear, and then he knocked the Pope out. He killed Michelle and Paul after you four left," she said through sniffles. "He almost killed me too, but my grandfather's ring helped preserve my life. Trent took Rudolph and the Pope. I tried to find a healer, but everyone had already fled the area because of the dragon."
"I'll save them," Ver said, and turned towards Grimmy. "I need a ride."
Grimmy glanced at Lindis before scooping her up along with Karen and Toffel.
"We can figure out the worm thing later. Let's save Ver's friends first."
Lindis frowned as they flew towards the temple.
"The only resurrection magic I know is reanimating the dead," she poked Toffel. "I don't suppose you know any."
Toffel shook her head.
"I can do it," Ver said. "I learned it from Juliana when she thought she killed me."
A fairy with magenta-colored hair was sitting outside of a cave eating a berry. Metal bars with blue runes covered the cave's entrance. Two fairies were lying face down in the makeshift prison with shackles attached to their ankles and wrists. The magenta-haired fairy raised her head as an amber-haired fairy approached her from the skies.
"Oh, I'm off guard duty already?" she asked,
as she placed the rest of the berry into her mouth. She stood up and stretched her arms above her head.
"Any change?" the amber-haired fairy asked as she landed in front of the entrance. "Nope, they haven't moved since I got here."
"They're not dead, right?"
the amber-haired fairy asked as she peered through the bars at the red and blue-haired fairies lying on the ground.
"They looked dead."
"Not possible. They couldn't die even if they wanted to,"
the magenta-haired fairy replied as she glanced at the chains holding Rella and Bella. They were pulsating with a sky-blue light.
"Have fun watching over them,"
she laughed and flew into the air.
The amber-haired fairy snorted and sat in the chair as the other fairy disappeared into the distance.
A crack formed beneath the fairy's chair, and she tilted her head before inspecting her feet.
A worm shot out of the ground and pierced through her abdomen before she could react. Her body convulsed as she opened her mouth to scream, but no sounds came out. She lay on the floor, twitching for a few moments, before she stood up with unfocused eyes.
She turned towards the cave entrance with saliva leaking from her mouth.
Rella was awakened by the sounds of crunching metal. Her eyes fluttered open. A fairy was crouched over her arm, eating the chains of her manacles. A shiver passed over her body, and the eating fairy froze. Saliva dropped to the ground as she stared at Rella. A long moment passed before the fairy continued to chew on the chains. Rella's lips cracked as a corner of her mouth twitched. "A chain has more mana than me, huh?" Her eyes shut as she lost consciousness.
37. Rella opened her eyes. Her lips cracked when she inhaled after peeling her tongue off the roof of her mouth.
"I'm alive?"
Her head flopped to the left. Bella was lying next to her, unmoving. Rella groaned as she sat up. The remaining bits of her manacles that hadn't been eaten fell off her wrists with a clinking sound.
"Bella,"
Rella said, and leaned over the blue-haired fairy's body. She shook her sister's shoulders.
"Wake up, Bella. Please, wake up."
She took her fingers and placed them along Bella's neck, feeling for a pulse. After a moment passed, she heaved a sigh of relief. Though faint, there was still a heartbeat. Rella removed her hand and glanced around. The metal bars with the runic inscriptions that had previously blocked the entrance to the cave were gone. Only a faint trace of metal residue remained. The chains and manacles on the two fairies' bodies were reduced to a similar state of decay. Rella picked up her shattered manacle. There were teeth marks on the broken edges. The image of the amber-haired fairy eating the chains appeared in her head, and a chill ran down her spine.
Rella?
Rella whipped her head around and stared at Bella.
"Bella, We have to get out of here, she said, and helped Bella to her feet. We're free? Bella asked. Her eyes widened. Is this a trap?
She shoved Rella over and retreated backwards until her body collided with the cave wall behind her.
You stupid nit, Rella said, as she picked herself off the floor. I'm not a trap. One of the tertiaries messed up and got infected by those worms.
Bella shivered.
You know what happened the last time we tried to escape, she said as tears formed in the corners of her eyes. I don't want to go through that again.
Rilla crossed her arms over her chest.
This is the only chance we're going to get, she said. I saw the infected tertiary with my own eyes. Come on!
She extended her hand towards Bella. Bella trembled, but took Rella's hand. Rella nodded.
Let's go! We need to tell someone about the worms. We have to find Ver. He can stop, Mom.
Where's Roy? Ver asked Lillian.
He was standing over Michelle in the altar room, wiping the sweat off his brow. Behind him, Paul let out a groan as his eyes twitched. Grimmy had lifted the roof of the temple off the building and was peeking inside. Toffle held Fluffykins in her lap as she watched Ver work, unwilling to take her gaze off of him. Lillian shook her head.
I don't know where Roy went. Trent attacked me after Paul and Michelle.
She clutched her shoulders and shuddered.
Who's Trent?
Lindis asked, as she inspected the altar in the temple. She took the bowl that held the remains of the crystals used to summon the spirits.
He was one of the winners of the competition, Lillian said. He was a second-place warrior.
Did you notice anything strange about him? Lindis asked, as she rummaged through the rubble. Lillian shook her head.
I never met him before, so I wouldn't know. And we didn't see the competition either, because we were preoccupied. He seemed normal.
Wait. His eyes. When he stabbed me, they looked like Stella's. The rock in Linda's hand turned to dust as she made a fist. Stella? She asked, narrowing her eyes at Lillian.
Lillian took a step back and gulped. Yeah. Stella was a warrior in the competition, but she lost in the first round. Her eyes were reptilian and they kept changing colors. It felt like they could see through to your soul.
The floor underneath Linda shattered.
I see, she said with a tight smile. This may be a bigger problem than I thought.
What do you mean? Karen asked.
He had borrowed a set of priest robes to cover his naked body.
The Queen of the Fairies kidnapped the Pope and the Crown Prince, Linda said, and somehow the Crown Prince's dragon gets infected by parasites at the same time.
Linda chewed on her lip.
So the Fairy Queen has access to the worms?
Karen asked with a frown.
His brow creased.
Didn't you sell her off around 4 centuries ago? I vaguely remember taking part in that.
Lindis nodded.
That's the problem. I wouldn't put it past her to breed the worms and unleash them all over this continent. We'll have to let the humans, demons, and elves know about this. I don't suppose you have a way of stopping the worms.
Karen nodded.
I do, in fact, he said, and stroked his chin. You can squish them easily as long as they don't have a host.
And if they do have a host? Lindis asked with a raised eyebrow.
Karen shrugged.
Tear them apart with orichalcum.
Isn't that what they did in Trimmer when Johann first arrived?
Correct.
And now Trimmer is completely overrun except for fuselage, right?
That is also correct.
God damn it, Exenter, what the hell have you been doing for the past millennium?
Lindis asked as she kicked the Time Mage.
You seriously banked the future of the world on you stopping yourself?
Karen made a face.
It was a good bet. After all, I got to spend 1,000 years studying to my heart's content. If I was going to stop existing after I stopped myself, then of course I wanted to know how everything in the world worked. What would you have done if you knew you were going to vanish after 1,000 years?
Linda sighed.
Get out, she said, and rubbed her temples. I don't need your existentialist nonsense right now. Bring the king and his advisors to Königreich. A meeting needs to be held.
I can bring the demons, Toffle said as she stood up.
All right, Linda said. We will She stopped talking and frowned. Toffle tilted her head. Did something happen?
Linda squeezed her brow. A squad of skeletons was just eliminated by a group of infected fairies. Stella's making her move. She was hiding right under our noses on the border between the three nations. My bats located a series of underground caves that must have been hidden with illusion magic.
Infected fairies? Like, by the worm things you were talking about?
Lillian asked. Lindis nodded. Lillian's face blanched.
The Leonis household is stationed on the border. My grandfather's there.
Then we better hurry, Lindis said. The Pope opened his eyes. A pair of speckled reptilian irises stared down at him.
Finally awake?
A feminine voice asked through Trent's mouth.
I was wondering how long you were going to sleep for.
The Pope tried to sit up, but found himself unable to move. His body was strapped to a table, bands of orange metal wrapped around his wrists, ankles, neck, and chest.
You're not Trent,
the Pope said as his body shivered. A breeze rolled over him and he realized he was naked.
What makes you say that?
Trent asked, his voice still high-pitched and lilting.
What makes a human a person? What makes Trent Trent? His body? His thoughts?
A silver knife glinted in Trent's hand as he traced its edge along the contours of the Pope's body.
You!
The Pope narrowed his eyes. A white rune appeared on his forehead and webs of light appeared on his body.
Oops,
Trent said, as the knife's blade disappeared into the Pope's torso. He flashed a smile.
Can't have you doing that right now.
The light on the Pope's body faded as the rune disappeared. He coughed as a trickle of blood leaked out the corner of his mouth. He grunted,
Who are you?
Trent licked his lips as he turned his back on the Pope and selected another knife from the table behind him.
I'm just a nobody, he said. Forgotten for a few centuries. Completely and utterly forgotten.
His eyes reddened as he stabbed the knife downwards, leaving a gouge in the table. He whipped his head around to face the Pope, eyes wide.
But not for long.
Soon, no one will be able to forget my name. He crouched and pulled a bucket out from underneath the table. The Pope's eyes shifted downwards. His skin crawled. There was a mass of wriggling worms devouring each other inside the bucket. A groan escaped from his mouth as he asked,
Why?
Trent smiled at the worms as they wriggled just underneath his face.
Why? No real reason, he said, and gently rocked the bucket. Maybe revenge against the person who took everything from me?
I never did anything to you, the Pope said.
His eyes widened as Trent reached into the bucket and pulled out a worm.
I can help you.
Trent sauntered over to the Pope with the worm's body thrashing against his arm.
You're right. You didn't do anything to me, he said and nodded.
The Pope let out a slow exhale.
Just like everyone else. They completely ignored my existence, content with me being the sacrifice. No one spoke up. No one did anything. Just like you.
The Pope shrieked as the worm entered the sole of his foot and crawled towards his heart. Trent stared, expression unchanging, as the Pope's body convulsed and thrashed against its bindings. Trent turned his head away from the Pope and locked his gaze onto a figure in the corner of the room.
Did you enjoy the show, little prince?
Trent asked with a smile. Whimpers slipped out of Rudolph's mouth.
Don't worry, Trent said as he walked up to Rudolph. I'll give you a chance to live.
He pinched Rudolph's nose and flicked a green orb down the prince's throat when he opened his mouth to breathe. Trent placed his hands against the chains holding Rudolph down and shattered them. Rudolph coughed and shoved his fingers down his throat, trying to force whatever Trent had him eat out. But no vomit came up.
Run! The egg will hatch if you're too slow,
Trent said and took a step back. It'd be such a tragedy if the crown prince slaughtered his own citizens in cold blood. Ver and Toffle stood next to each other on top of Grimmy's head. Lillian, Paul, and Michelle were hanging in the air, held up by one of the black dragon's claws. Lindis was flying in front of Grimmy, a pair of translucent bat wings sprouting from her back. They were hovering in the air above the Leonis household's territory. Soldiers were rushing out of a castle towards the surrounding farmlands. A sea of flames blazed in the westernmost tip of the farms, heading east towards the castle. Lillian's eyes glowed with a white light as she scanned the land beneath her with magic.
"I see Grandpa!"
she shouted, and pointed towards the wave of soldiers rushing towards the fire. Her eyes narrowed.
"He's fighting against a group of fairies. I have to help him."
She scrambled up Grimmy's claw and steadied herself as she conjured a white bow, knocking an arrow made of light. Paul squinted and shielded his eyes from the sun with his right hand.
"Can you really hit them from here? Grandpa barely looks bigger than an ant."
Lillian released her arrow in response. It screeched as it ripped apart the air, homing in on the dust-sized fairy below. It left behind a trail of light like a shooting star across the night sky. Lindis raised an eyebrow as the arrow struck its target.
"Not bad," she said, as the arrow pierced the fairy's body, pinning it to the ground.
The soldiers in front of the fairy froze before looking up, following the trail of light.
"It's a shame they're resistant to magic."
Lindis shook her head as the fairy ripped the arrow out of its stomach while standing up. Lillian's grandpa stepped forward and beheaded the fairy before it could take to the air. A worm lunged out of the fairy's carcass towards him, but he punted it away with his shield. Another arrow of light flew through the air and struck the worm's body, disintegrating it with a white flame.
"It seems like the humans can take care of themselves," Grimmy said, as he flew closer to the combat area.
A few of the humans were casting water-oriented spells to douse the burning farms, while the armored men fended off the fairies. Arrows of light knocked the fairies in the air to the ground, preventing them from escaping the swords. A rune formed on Michelle's forehead as she chanted a spell. A few moments later, pillars of white light rained down on the battlefield, healing the humans and blinding the fairies.
"The infected ones haven't used magic yet," Linda said, flying alongside Grimmy.
She rubbed her chin with her hand.
"I wonder why. Maybe this is a weaker breed of worm. If that's the case, you can leave the three humans here while we head to the underground fairy city."
Grimmy nodded.
"You hear that, kiddies?"
he asked the three humans standing on his claw.
"I'm going to drop you now."
The trio screamed as the foundation they were standing on vanished, causing them to plummet towards the earth. Lindis conjured a cushion of air beneath them, stopping their descent inches away from the ground.
"We're going to find Stella?"
Ver asked. His hands closed and tightened into fists. Lindis nodded.
"Ideally, she'd be unprepared because she's currently possessing someone."
Her eyes narrowed.
"I'm not letting her get away this time."
Ver frowned.
"Is she really a bad person?"
He gripped the lightning elemental hanging on the end of his necklace.
"When I helped free her, she gave me Sparky as a present. And she really cared about Rella, Bella, and..."
Ver paused and bit his lower lip. Toffle took Ver's hand into her own.
"Even if she was nice," she said, making eye contact, "it doesn't pardon her for what she's done.
I only became the Demon Lord a few days ago, but I've read a lot of reports about missing people. She's kidnapped over 1,000 demons and humans in the past 10 years. And with this worm business, I don't even want to think about how many are dead or wish they were dead."
Ver sighed and nodded. "I just want to know why she suddenly changed from nice and caring to evil and cursy after Auntie showed up."
He frowned at Linda's back.
"What exactly happened between the two of them?"
Lindis continued to fly forwards without pause, and Grimmy took a sudden interest in studying his nails. Rella and Bella flew over an open plain with a white layer of mist encasing their bodies. Multiple tunnel entrances perforated the field below.
"The illusion's gone,"
Bella said with wide eyes. Rella nodded.
"I told you it wasn't a trap. Someone really messed up."
Bella squinted and raised her hand over her eyes, shielding them from the sun.
"That looks like a dragon,"
she said, and tugged on Rella's arm while pointing at the sky.
"What? Dragons don't fly this far north,"
Rella said and squinted at the clouds. Her neck craned forward as she peered at a black dot in the distance.
"Maybe it's a rock. She shook her head. It doesn't matter. We have to get out of here before they get things under control and notice we're gone.
Bella kept her eyes locked on the sky while continuing to fly forwards.
That's definitely a dragon, she said as the dot got closer. It's most likely Grimmeldesser. Maybe he noticed the worm outbreak?
Do you think we should fly up there and meet him? Rilla asked.
He might know where Ver is since he's a dragon and all.
Eh,
Bella asked as her eyebrows shot up.
Are you crazy? We're barely the size of one of his teeth. He'd kill us over something small, like if our voices were too high-pitched for him.
Rilla bit her lip.
How else are we going to find Ver? He could be anywhere. We don't even know if he's alive or not.
Bella released Rella's arm and stopped moving.
Rella turned her head and frowned. What's wrong?
Would Ver even listen to us? Bella asked as her shoulders drooped. We asked him to help free Mom, and then Mom went and cursed the Corrupted One. I know that the Corrupted One stole the Fountain of Youth from us, and that she was the reason why Mom was locked up in the first place. But Ver didn't know that. He called her Auntie.
Bella lowered her head as tears formed in the corners of her eyes. He helped us, and we hurt him. Yella knew that.
Rilla placed her hands on Bella's shoulders.
Ver said we were his friends, and he didn't need a reward for helping us, she said,
and tilted Bella's body to look her in the eye.
What we need to do now is let Ver know what Mom is planning so he doesn't regret becoming friends with us in the first place. Yella was better than the stereotypical fairy who befriends people for mischief. We can be, too.
Bella focused her gaze on Rella's eyes. She wiped away her tears with the backs of her hands and nodded.
When did you become so mature? She asked as she embraced her sister. It makes me look bad as the oldest.
Rella snorted as she pulled away.
You're only older by a fraction of a second, she said and crossed her arms. Now let's go confront that dragon. Of course, the oldest should go first.
Rilla motioned for Bella to fly ahead of her.
Tuffle sucked in her breath. This is huge, she said with wide eyes. How did no one ever notice for 10 years?
She was crouching next to Ver and Lindis, peering over Grimmy's snout at the plains below.
The tunnels practically span the whole area between our nations.
They had a massive illusion set up, Lindis said and frowned. Not only that, but they also relocated repeatedly once they drained an area of all its mana. This is the best place for them to set their base and sow chaos with the worms. But I don't understand why the fairies infected themselves to initiate the attack.
Grimmy circled over the plain, scanning the ground below.
What's the plan? Should I just burn it all down? Pour some lava in the holes and cover the top with hellfire?
Lindis nodded.
That might be the best course of action, she said, as she stood up and rubbed her chin.
We should cover all the entrances, except for the one you're pouring the lava through.
You're going to kill all the fairies? Ver asked and knit his brow. Didn't you say killing fairies brings bad luck?
It does, Linda said as she narrowed her eyes at the tunnel entrances. I killed a fairy once, and now the world might be ending because of that.
But you shouldn't kill them all. There are some good fairies, too, Ver said.
Tuffle squeezed his hand.
Yella saved my life, and her sisters weren't bad people despite their initial curses.
She frowned at Lindis.
We can't just slaughter them all, not when there can be others like them living in those caves.
Lindis sighed. Both of you are too young for this, she said and shook her head. If it makes you feel any better, the Fairy Queen plays a major role in the emotional and physical states of her children. If she thinks torturing babies is fun, the rest of the fairies will agree. Stella's gone crazy, and her mental state should be reflected in all the fairies.
That's not true,
a voice came from behind them. Rella's and Bella's figures appeared as the mist surrounding them dispersed.
You're the crazy one,
Bella said, as she hovered in the air with her hands on her hips. She lowered her head and glanced at Ver's face before shifting her gaze to his toes.
Hi, Ver.
Rilla?
Bella? Ver asked, and tilted his head while taking a step forward. You two look abnormally thin.
Your face is abnormally thin, Rella said, and stuck her tongue out at him.
A lightning bolt flew through the air.
Yeep!
Rella ducked her head, avoiding the bolt.
What was that for?
She asked, and shook her fist at Lindis, whose finger was emitting smoke. Lindis crossed her arms over her chest.
You heard what I said. Prove to us you're not under Stella's influence.
Bella and Rella glanced at each other. They landed on Grimmy's forehead and kneeled while lowering their heads.
You're awesome. Amazing. I hope you live long and prosper for 100,000 years. Your mastery of black magic is beyond our understanding. And the fact that you can use so many skills from so many different classes.
All right, Linda said, as a vein bulged on her forehead. Enough, enough, I believe you. Stella would never allow anyone to lower her head to me. Why aren't you under her influence?
We relocated our birth flower a long time ago, Rella said as she stood up. Mom can't control us without it.
Bella nodded.
It was Yella's idea.
She looked at Ver and Toffle while pouting.
You've gotten a lot taller. You too.
We can save the reunion for later, Linda said, and waved her hand to stop Ver from moving forward. For now, tell us about the situation inside. 38.
Bella and I were imprisoned for nearly 10 years, but we managed to pick up some gossip here and there,
Rella said as she scratched her head.
I'll start from when Mom captured one of those worms from the demon's capital. She wanted to experiment with them after seeing their destructive power while fighting against you, so she abducted the rest of the demon's royal family members.
Bella shivered as she hugged her shoulders.
She tortured them,
she said, her voice quavering.
It was horrible. She hung them upside down by chains and had them vote on who to infect with the worms. They were terrified. I've never seen Mom act that way before.
Lindis and Ver frowned while Toffle's face blanched.
Well, that's to be expected, Lindis said with a sigh. She was imprisoned and used as a manasaurus for over 4 centuries. What else happened?
Rella and Bella exchanged glances.
She came back and overthrew the secondaries and tertiaries queens. She seized all their birth flowers and ordered everyone to set up the tunnel system. Afterwards, she had us kidnap humans and demons who wandered into our illusions,
Rella said as she stared at Linda's feet.
Bella and I refused, so she imprisoned us for being bad children who didn't listen to Mommy.
Ahem, a voice said from underneath Grimmy's wing. I couldn't help but overhear something about secondary and tertiary queens.
Karen's head peeked out, and he climbed Grimmy's scales before standing behind the fairies. Linda furrowed her brow.
And what exactly are you doing here?
Now, now, Karen said as he raised his arms in front of himself. Don't be mad. I did everything you asked me to before coming along.
He grinned at the fairies.
I've never had a chance to study fairies before. Such elusive creatures. Come, tell me about these queens.
But, Rella said, and glanced at Lindis. There's more important things.
Nonsense, Karen scoffed. Knowledge is power. Nothing is more important than knowledge.
Linda sighed. You continue telling me about what happened, she said towards Rella. She pointed at Bella. You go entertain the crazy old man.
Eh?
Bella asked as she pointed at herself. No, what? Rella shuddered as Bella was dragged away by Karen.
Anyways, she said, and cleared her throat. We heard a lot of conversation between the fairies who watched over us. They've been breeding the worms in pools saturated with mana and letting them infect the humans and demons they kidnapped. Just very recently, one of the fairies screwed up, and the worms infected at least one fairy who freed us, most likely by coincidence.
So it wasn't a planned attack, Linda said, and thought about the Leoness household's farmland. She nodded. Why didn't Stella stop them? I don't believe she was unable to.
She locked herself in a room and told everyone not to disturb her,
Rella said.
That can only mean two things, since she didn't come out to quell the commotion. She's focusing on a long-distanced, mind-controlled target. Or she's making seeds for new birth flowers.
It's the mind control, Linda said. Her objective was most likely to bring the human's ancestors' powers, or Pope, back here. If we can use this opportunity to eliminate her while she's in someone else's body, then we wouldn't have to resort to genocide.
Are there any uninfected humans or demons? Tuffle asked.
Rella nodded.
Most of them are just locked up because they'd be too hard to store if they were infected. I heard some fairies complain about having to deliver them food.
That makes things more problematic, Linda said. It's hard enough to deal with Stella on her own turf without having to worry about collateral damage. Do you know how many captives there are?
No, but there should be no less than 1,000, Rella said. Mom wanted the tunnels to be big enough to house over 10,000 humans.
How did they feed that many people? Toffle tilted her head and muttered. Could I use their methods for my people?
Rella's face turned green.
You don't want to know. You really don't.
Ver raised an eyebrow.
Cannibalism?
Rella turned her head away. Forget it, Linda said. Can you draw a map of the place with all the important locations we have to look out for? Rella heaved a sigh of relief as she faced Lindis while avoiding Toffle's gaze. She raised her hand and drew on the air with blue lines of mana.
These were the original plans for the tunnels, she said, as a web of mana came into view. But I don't know how much has changed over the years. Over here is where they imprisoned Bella and me. The fairies' living quarters are over there. Their birth flowers are beneath Mom's chambers, which are down at the lowest level, with the worm pools a passage away. The captives are supposed to be stored over here.
It looks like a mixture between an ant colony and a beehive, Karen said as he rubbed his chin while peering over Rella's shoulder. Very interesting.
I understand the layout, Linda said, ignoring Karen's comment. It looks like we have three objectives. Take down Stella, eliminate the worms, and free the captives.
Can you save the birth flowers, too? Bella asked. It'd be bad if they were damaged during a battle. A fairy can be reborn as long as their birth flower is still alive.
Ver's eyes widened.
Then, Yella?
He asked.
You said...
No,
Rella said in a low voice and shook her head.
She gave her soul to you. She can't come back.
Ver's shoulders drooped. Rella flew up to him and kicked his bicep.
Stop looking so droopy, she said, and pouted. She gave her life for you. You have to live yours to the fullest now, for her. It's the least you can do.
Tuffle squeezed Ver's hand. Me too, she said and sighed. Yella wouldn't have died if I didn't act so rashly. We owe it to her to save her sisters.
Ver nodded, eyes still downcast. Then it's settled. Karen and Bella will free the captives. Toffle will move the birth flowers with Rella. Ver will kill the worms, Linda said and clenched her hand. And I will take care of Stella.
I think you're forgetting someone, Grimmy said with narrowed eyes.
What are you going to do? Linda asked. You'd never fit in the tunnels. They're only big enough to transport humans. She patted his head and smiled. Just wait here like a good boy, all right? Grimmy snorted and growled. The passengers riding on his body screamed as he dove towards the ground. He crashed against it, shattering the earth like a black meteorite, causing plumes of dirt and grass to shoot into the air. Screams whistled out of the tunnels and into the air around them, the field sounding like a discombobulated church organ. Grimmy roared and stomped his claw against the ground, causing a cave-in underneath him.
I'll wait here, he said as he shook his passengers off. But I'm not your dog.
Ah, Linda sighed as she fixed her ruffled hair. It was just a joke. Dragons and their pride.
She clicked her tongue and glared at everyone else who was on the ground with their faces pale.